Hi, this is Hall of Famer running back Eric Dixon, and you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
Now back to SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio. We're going to continue the conversation about the NBA. We got a play-in game tonight, Mitchell versus Simmons, and all sorts of fun things happening in the NBA. We go to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Tim Cato, SB Nation, covering the NBA for us. Tim, Matt Peralt, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you,
hey,
Matt?
Hey, sorry, you broke up there for a second. Appreciate it. I'm good. Thanks for the time. All right, so let's start with the Simmons versus Donovan Mitchell, lighthearted fun, poking back and forth. But on a serious note, who is a rookie in your mind? Is Ben Simmons a rookie? Is Mitchell right to poke fun at this, or is Simmons right to say there's a rule in place for a reason?
You know, I hate to say it, but I don't actually have a strong take on this. I understand the people who argue that you know, with an extra year in the NBA, obviously Simmons does have, you know, somewhat of an advantage. For sure, he does have an advantage. I think that is correct. But at the same time, you know, why doesn't Mitchell have an advantage for staying another year? What if Simmons was a one and done college player who didn't get hurt? And you know, this was his first year in the NBA, and he only had 1 year of college. What if you know, Donovan Mitchell had spent 4 years in college? You know, isn't that an advantage over a player who's only had 1 year in college? Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, if the NBA wants to reclassify the award, you know, that's something that isn't really, you know, I'd be fine with that. You know, it's not something that I have super strong takes on, but you know, there's always going to be a player or, you know, certain rookies, no matter how you classify it, that are going to have an advantage over other certain rookies. So if you think Simmons, you know, Simmons does have an advantage for sure, but, you know, Mitchell has an advantage over other rookies who have come straight out of college. So at the end of the day, you know, it's a silly thing, but I'm here for it because I love NBA beefs, and this one's great.
So who wins the award in your mind then? If by rule they're both classified rookies, who wins?
Well, you know what? If Mitchell's best argument is that Simmons isn't a rookie, and by definition he is, according to the NBA, he doesn't have a great argument. I think that it's clearly Simmons to me. You know, I think that what Mitchell has done is incredible and you know, should be appreciated, and it doesn't come down to you know, just, you know, who the winner is. Clearly they both had great seasons regardless of who wins, but I do think Simmons has been better, a bit better on both sides of the court actually. So he would definitely be the person I voted for.
Let's stay with the awards for a second. Who is Coach of the Year in the NBA? We've seen some really impressive runs. Philadelphia with what they have done, Boston and all their injuries, Houston getting the one seed in the West. Who's Coach of the Year in your mind?
Yeah, I would say the three names that I kind of think are going to finish top three are probably Brad Stevens, Dwayne Casey in Toronto, and also Quinn Snyder in Utah. The impression I get is that I think Brad Stevens is going to be the winner. I'm leaning personally, you know, I would lean more towards Quinn or Dwayne. But man, it's really close. There are some incredible coaching jobs done this season, and it's just, you know, really impressive work all around. You know, with these coaches, you know, really, you know, changing these teams and leading them on improbable runs and stuff like that. So, you know, overall, I don't think you can go wrong. I think that, Mike D'Antoni, like you said, with Houston winning the one seed, is also, you know, also deserves his name to be mentioned. You know, for a lot of the year, even Greg Popovich doing what he did with the Spurs without Kawhi Leonard, you know, the entire season. You know, they did have a kind of a late season swoon, but they kind of picked the thing back up, and they're definitely going to be a playoff team. So, you know, there are a lot of deserving names. I would guess that Stevens wins it, but you know, there's probably five people who easily could win it this year.
Tim Cato, SB Nation, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. Same thing can be said for the MVP, right? I think it's, to me, I know LeBron could win it every single year, but given what we've seen, given the ups and the downs, the injuries, the trades, the reworking of the roster, what LeBron has done this year I think is incredible. If I had a vote, I would vote LeBron James, but who do you think deserves the MVP?
Yeah, it's still hard for me, I think. It's really hard to say that when you look at LeBron's season and what he's done, and you know, just the incredible production, and you're right, you know, this, not only does he often, you know, he's always the best player, you know, and you know, he probably could always win the MVP. The season he's having this year is arguably even better than you know, some MVP seasons he's had. But given all that, I think back to, you know, that kind of 3 week, 1 month stretch where, you know, he looked extremely checked out. His stats back that up. You know, his defense pretty much all the season has been, you know, it turns up occasionally, but it has definitely been on chill mode. I think LeBron has even admitted that at times, that he does kind of go into chill mode, and then we'll kind of bounce out of it. But, you know, when I consider all that and consider how Harden did not have any point in the season where he kind of took time off or you know, back down, he did have one brief injury. So maybe people will look at LeBron's, you know, kind of 3 weeks that he took off right before the trade deadline and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and played it with Harden being out injured. So, you know, if that's the argument you want to make, you know, I understand it. Personally, though, I think it's still Harden for me. And it's tough. It's really tough. I don't want to vote against LeBron, but I think for me it's Harden by the slightest edge.
I've stolen this topic from Christine Leahy of Fox Sports 1, but I think she's totally onto something, and she's been pushing this for a while, and I agree with her about the fact the NBA needs to revamp their award season. They have the NBA awards. Why not have a most outstanding player and a most valuable player awarding the best individual season, but then awarding the player that meant the most to that current roster, that one team? Would you be in favor? Because then we could split it. Harden could be most outstanding, and LeBron could be MVP.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be fine with something like that. You know, I think if we do that, you know, the MVP should stay as it is. I do like that the MVP has some subjectivity and that voters have to kind of decide what they value, because that makes us interesting. You know, I definitely don't do away with that only for the most outstanding player. But I could see two awards kind of being introduced. I think LeBron might win out most outstanding like every year in that instance, and that's why most outstanding should not be, you know, the only award that's handed out, because it would so consistently go to the best player. Whereas, you know, I think it is actually interesting how each season, you know, that everything kind of shift around based on, you know, just what voters value and things like that, which also leads to some frustrations when, you know, one player wins over another and it's not consistent year to year. But I do think that's what at least makes it somewhat interesting. So yeah, I'd be okay with two awards, you know, but as long as we keep valuable player in some manner.
Sim, so tonight we've got a play-in game for the first time in two decades in the NBA with the T-Wolves hosting the Nuggets. Nuggets have been streaking, playing really well. Over the last 3 weeks, the Timberwolves have kind of seen themselves be placed in a kind of a precarious position here where they must win at home to make the playoffs. They added Tom Thibodeau. They went and, you know, grabbed a hold of basically all the ex-Bulls players, including Jimmy Butler. They've got young talents, KAT and Wiggins. How much pressure is on the T-Wolves to win tonight, and what happens if they don't?
Man, yeah. You know, everybody pretty much thought that this was a playoff team. They look like a playoff team all year. You know, they're pretty high in the seedings. You know, something about this team, clearly their talent hasn't added up as kind of the sum of the team. Clearly there's something there that hasn't quite clicked. You know, personally I look at Thibodeau. I think that you kind of have to start with him. You know, there may be serious questions about him as a coach and whether he's the right person, you know, for mm-hmm. this team moving forward if they do lose. You know, and I think that any question that we're kind of speculating for Minnesota and Denver, you know, if we have questions like if they lose, if they're going to have this question, but I think those same questions are probably there if they win. Mm-hmm. You know, clearly this is a one game thing, and making the playoffs versus not making the playoffs, you know, it's a big deal in a sense, but also like this team is clearly, you know, they're both these teams are in this situation, so we should kind of see however we feel about these teams now. You know, I think those same feelings apply even if they do manage to win and kind of squeak in at the last minute. So, you know, it's not a great position to be in. Both teams expect to make the playoffs, and I think that you know, I would say that it's a little bit more dire for Minnesota just because of their expectations and mm-hmm. you know their talent level than Denver, who is still developing young players. But both teams have serious questions they kind of need to look at this offseason and figure out whether, you know, the direction they're going long term with the various people they have in charge and things like that, whether they're still the best case scenario for those teams.
Tim, we started with the Sixers, and I want to end with the Sixers and their potential of making a run here in the playoffs. Boston is really banged up. They lost last night by double digits on the road to Washington. They don't have a closer. Toronto, I'm never going to trust in the playoffs given their history of wilting under pressure. Cleveland, clearly the favorite to come out of the East. But what do you make of the Sixers' chances here and how long they could be staying around in the Eastern Conference playoffs?
Yeah, I see Philly as, you know, the highest ceiling, lowest floor type team in the East playoffs, you know, where I definitely could see an Eastern Conference Finals run. But it wouldn't shock me to see this team lose in the first round either. Mm. No, I wouldn't necessarily predict that, and I would lean towards them making a longer run than vice versa. But they are a young team with a few flaws here and there, you know, and also with the huge Joel Embiid injury question, whether he's going to be, you know, how much of the first round he's going to be able to play through and things like that. So, you know, I like them. I clearly, you know, like this is one of, you know, this will be one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference for a decade or something like that. So, mm-hmm. you know, they have a bright future ahead of them. But, you know, future doesn't mean that they aren't trying to advance as far as they're right now. You know, it's not something that should hold them back from a situation like that. So, mm. you know, I think that Ben Simmons has really, really impressed me in Embiid's absence. And, you know, I think between him and you know, just the rest of the team, you know, which is just really solidly constructed, I think that they have a chance to go, you know, beat probably any team in the Eastern Conference if they're playing their very best basketball. And that's not necessarily guaranteed. And you know, they haven't showed all season to be always reach that highest level that they can reach. But if they can harness that for, you know, a month and a half stretch, you know, I could even see them, you know, in the finals legitimately.
Hmm. Tim, great stuff. Appreciate the time today.
Yeah, for sure.
Tim Cato, SB Nation, covering the NBA and the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently.